You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Dental health is not just about appearance and avoiding cavities. It's critical in your overall health. Poor oral health has been tied to cardiovascular disease, respiratory infections like pneumonia, diabetic complications, dementia. So how do we get dental care to areas and populations that are underserved by dentists? Some in Michigan think Senate Bill 1013 could have an answer. That bill was introduced earlier this summer by Republican Senator Mike Shirkey of Clark Lake, modeled after a program in Minnesota. It sets up a mid-level dental professional called a dental therapist. Now, whether we need this new professional role in dental care in Michigan is up for debate. We start by turning to Dr. David Gesko. He's Senior Vice President of Health Partners in Minnesota, a large medical and dental practice. Dr. Gesko is past president and past member of the Minnesota Board of Dentistry. Dr. Gesko, welcome to Stateside.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Exactly what is a dental therapist? What can they do and what can't they do?
Well, Cynthia, I think your audience would be most familiar in the medical side of the world relating it to a physician's assistant or a nurse practitioner, truly a mid-level provider that extends the services of a dentist but is a narrower scope than what a dentist can do.
All right. So in terms of if I'm sitting in a chair and I have a dental therapist working on me, what might he or she do and not be able to do?
In Minnesota, the diagnosis and treatment planning of all care still falls to the dentist. And so once I've diagnosed and treatment planned you, for example, and if you needed some fillings, I could set you up with a dental therapist, and the dental therapist then at a subsequent appointment would do the same work that normally a dentist would have done. So they would begin by numbing you up, and they would prepare the teeth for the restorations and place the restorations all beginning and end on their own.
And then where would it stop? For instance, if I needed a root canal, God forbid, but if I needed a root canal, that would not be within the purview of the therapist?
Correct. That falls outside of the scope of practice in Minnesota and I believe in most cases where dental therapy is practiced around the world as well. So the if your listeners could understand the most of the what is constitutes fillings is in the scope of a dental therapist. And for children, their scope is quite extensive, so they can do stainless steel crowns and pulpotomies and other procedures that are done on children's teeth.
All right, so Minnesota started using dental therapists in mid-2011, 5 years ago. Tell us, as it's evolved, how does the program work, and particularly, what's worked well?
You know, it's clearly not a panacea, and I want to just make sure that everyone understands that this is not the silver bullet to solving all access problems. But how does it benefit the patient? And so in Minnesota, the legislature said that half of the practice of a dental therapist must be devoted to state public program insurance, or commonly referred to as Medicaid. And so what has worked very well in Minnesota is it has allowed a less expensive model of care to devoted to a reimbursement system that is generally not what dentists would like to see it. And so this allows us to be able to deliver care at a lower cost model, but at a very high quality level. It's the same quality. The training of the dental therapists is equivalent in their scope of practice to what a dentist gets.
So the dental therapist works within the dental practice and overseen by a DDS.
Correct. It's a new team member, just like, you know, at one point hygiene was new to dentistry. And so hygienists were created, and those providers, as we all know, focus on prevention and cleaning services and preventive services. Now this new provider has been introduced to allow their ability to do restorations. And it really allows the dentist now to focus on things that only the dentist can do. And as I like to think, float to the very top of one's license.
Now, where would you like to see the program shored up? Where has it fallen short in your view where it needs tweaking?
You know, right now it's running very smoothly. We have three dental therapists in our practice that work in our clinic system, and our patients have accepted them with open arms. We've not had any issues there whatsoever. The quality that they've delivered has been excellent. They're in the same quality assurance program as all of our dentists and all of our hygienists are in our program. And so I can't think of an area that I would tweak, Cynthia, but it's performing very well and it's running very smoothly.
Dr. Gasco, why not just expand what dental hygienists do? Why add another layer to the dental care practice team?
Well, in fact, that's in a way, that's what has been done in Minnesota. So there's two training programs in Minnesota, one at the University of Minnesota School of Dentistry, and then one in the community college system, Normandale Metro State. The latter program had decided to accept only hygienists into their training program for dental therapists. And the University of Minnesota initially began by just creating new folks that are being trained as dental therapists. But in fact, this year, the dental therapy class in Minnesota has also evolved to producing dual-degreed individuals. They will produce a hygienist and a dental therapist at the end of their training program. So in a way, Cynthia, that is indeed what's happened, although it didn't start out that way, but that's the way it's evolved now, so that we're really having an expanded hygienist.
And as we're going to hear in a moment, the Michigan Dental Association is firmly against having dental therapists in Michigan. Was there similar resistance in Minnesota when the program was first proposed?
Yes, indeed there was. And, you know, the arguments were a concern over quality, that these folks would be doing irreversible procedures that only a dentist can do. And that is just not proven to be a situation at all, because they are trained exactly the same as a dentist is trained. And the exam that they take is exactly the same exam for their scope of practice that a dentist takes. And so that has proved to be a specious argument. And the public has accepted them well. It's a lower cost option. And really, I see no reason why this new team member in our dental practice should not go forward throughout the country.
Doctor, what is your response to the argument from the MDA, the Michigan Dental Association, that introducing dental therapists could create two standards of care? For those who can pay, they'll get to see the DDS like you are, and those who can't will have to be cared for by a dental therapist.
Well, I don't follow that argument at all, Cynthia, because the dental therapists in Minnesota in our practice, although, yes, 50% of their practice needs to be focused on the underserved, the other 50% can work on anyone. And so I would have no concerns whatsoever if I needed a restoration to have a dental therapist do that restoration, place that restoration with me. So this idea of two different standards is just not an argument that I'm tracking at all, because they're absolutely able to work on any member of the population. The legislature here just said, I really want to focus on the underserved, and so 50% of your practice must be there.
Dr. David Gasco, past president and former member of the Minnesota Board of Dentistry. Doctor, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome.
The Michigan Dental Association has been squarely against the idea of dental therapists, and it opposes Senate Bill 1013. So let's talk about why, as we welcome Bill Sullivan, who's the Vice President of Advocacy and Professional Affairs for the Michigan Dental Association. Good to have you here with us, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Tell us why the MDA opposes dental therapists for Michigan.
The main reason is that it's unproven. There's only one state where this model has actually been used. The second thing is we don't believe it's needed. In Michigan right now, we believe the workforce exists that can deal with the access issue, and it's better utilizing the existing workforce that we think should be focused on.
So why do we have an access issue if we've got the workforce?
The problem is there's a maldistribution in the state. If you look at Michigan, there are dental shortage areas, and virtually north of Lansing is one big dental shortage area. And the reason that there aren't dentists there is because they can't make a living there. So there's an economic problem where people go into these areas and they can't economically sustain themselves. And there's also, you know, when talking to others, there's quality of life. You know, you don't have as much there as you do in population centers in the state. So there's no reason to think that you create a dental therapist that these people are going to be able to go into these areas any more than anybody else can right now.
Now, in Minnesota, a 2014 report from the Minnesota Department of Public Health finds that that program is bringing dental care to those underserved populations, charging less to patients, and helping dentists with another pair of hands. So wait times are shorter. So why would that not be something we'd want to see?
Well, if you look at what they did in Minnesota, when they were working on passing this plan, one of the things that they billed it as is the way to get care into rural areas, which you were just talking about. And if you look at what's going on in Minnesota right now, they're not going into those areas. There's about 56 practicing dental therapists in Minnesota, and all but seven of them are going into the rural areas. Why is that? That's because where they can make a living.
So what do we do to fix this? I mean, what would be the options?
Yeah, it's a very complicated problem.
It is.
Very complicated. And one of the things that we believe we should do is focus on Michigan's existing workforce. In Michigan right now, there's 7,500 licensed dentists. There's over 10,300 licensed dental hygienists, and there's over 1,700 registered dental assistants. If you look at the hygienists, for example, half or more are either underemployed or unemployed. We believe that we should utilize people who are already existing, have already been trained, and tap into their abilities and use them to help deal with the access problem. But, you know, that's only one part of the issue when we talk about workforce. A bigger part of the problem is simple education. A lot of people just don't value dental health. As a result, they don't go to the dentist like they should. I'll give you a statistic that I just found out last week from Blue Cross. For their pediatric population, this is for children who have dental insurance, 58% utilization. You know, even people with dental insurance aren't going to the dentist. You know, you look in Michigan, one of the things that they did to fix the access issue is, I don't know if you've heard of the Healthy Kids Dental Program.
Yes, let's remind everybody what that's about.
Sure. What Healthy Kids Dental is, it's a Medicaid program that is administered by Delta Dental of Michigan. Even though it's Medicaid, patients get a Delta Dental card. The dentists who are participating get to bill and get paid through Delta Dental. It's not through the state Medicaid system. So under Healthy Kids Dental and all the Healthy Kids Dental counties, 80% of the dentists participate in the Healthy Kids Dental program.
So you've got big participation.
Yes.
Kids can get there. It's easier for the dentists than
yes.
It would be if they were working through Medicaid.
Yep.
Could we see this expanded to adults?
Yes. And in fact, the governor tried to do that a couple of years ago. It did not make it through the legislature. The Senate tried to do it again this year, and it didn't survive. But I do know that there will be other efforts to create like a Healthy Kids Dental program for adults. Another point of Healthy Kids Dental that's important to note is the utilization of the children under Healthy Kids Dental has gone up dramatically from what it was under traditional Medicaid.
So that could be one solution. Back to the just looking at the geography, as you say, this kind of underserved area that's pretty much north of Lansing. Could we just argue that if you've got dental therapists who are working under the guidance of a dentist as part of a practice, being able to do fillings, could they not be, you know, do outreach kinds of programs? Wouldn't that expand a dental practice's ability to at least maybe, let's say, 2 days a week or whatever, have a clinic up where there aren't folks who, you know, where you don't have a lot who want to live there full time?
Well, you know, again, we talked about this a little while ago. The economic sustainability of the model has got to work for people to do it. And right now, dentists have capacity to take on new patients without a new provider being added into the workforce. You know, just recently, there was a group called Alterum, which did a study through the Michigan Caries Prevention Program. And they found that 74% of dentists are accepting new patients, new children patients. It doesn't make sense to put a new provider into that mix when you already have people who aren't busy enough and can see these patients. You know, we think a better way to do it is to allow the dentist to be able to send somebody out and do outreach, for lack of a better word, and see these patients and perform hygiene services on them. Right now in Michigan, we have what's called a PA-161 program. And what that does is it allows a PA-161 program, which can be like a school district, a public health center, a federally qualified health center, that program or entity is able to bring on a dentist as a supervising dentist. That dentist then can send out or supervise hygienists who go out into the community, perform hygiene services without that patient having been seen by a dentist first. And that program is something we think should be expanded. what we would like to see happen and a proposal that we're working on, and there will probably be a bill introduced next week, as a matter of fact, by Senator Pete McGregor, that will allow individual dentists to become a PA-161 program. And then they could send out a hygienist anywhere in the community. It could be to a daycare center, a school, whatever. The person could perform hygiene services. And then if there is
screen.
And then if they found follow-up care was needed, that person would have to be referred back to the dentist for care.
Just to throw this out here, as we heard from Dr. Gasco from the Minnesota Board of Dentistry, the past president, who said it's working in Minnesota that many hygienists have taken the extra training to become therapists. So they've got the bases covered so they could do, for example, fillings if they were out there.
Yeah, and you know that's another important distinction I think we really need to emphasize is that they talk about doing routine procedures. Well, keep in mind the dental therapist model has people doing extractions. It has them drilling and filling teeth. And we feel that person with the most training should be doing those type of procedures. Now, as far as what the claim from Minnesota, you know, I have to dispute what you were told, because right now in Minnesota, like I said, there's 56. This program was passed in 2009, so that's 7 years, and we have 56 providers. It costs about $50,000 to $60,000 to go through the program. And both schools that do the program in Minnesota, one is accepting 6 a year, one is accepting 8 a year.
So the pipeline is not big, you're saying?
Correct.
It could be grown, but how do you answer those who might see this stance as basically turf guarding?
Yeah, nope. And I think that's we hear that all the time when we're talking about this issue. One of the things people got to keep in mind is that, you know, dentists are highly trained. They go to school for 4 years. Many have even more after that they get. And the reason that they get that extra training is because sometimes when you're doing the routine type procedures, something happens. And it's that type of thing that you need to be prepared for, that something, that unplanned for thing that can lead to something worse. I can't tell you the number of dentists I've talked to regarding this bill. And the one thing that they always bring up is that they use the term simple extractions. And they said, you know what? Everything's simple until it's not. And they can't tell you the number of times where they've been pulling out a tooth and something, you know, a vein has been ruptured or something to that effect. And that's when their extra training kicks in. Now, I'm not saying that the dental therapists are unsafe, but it's that extra training that's important. And, you know, the Michigan Dental Association's position is that the dentist should be the head of the dental team and they should be the one that's performing irreversible procedures.
Bill Sullivan is Vice President of Advocacy and Professional Affairs for the Michigan Dental Association. Appreciate you being part of the conversation, Bill. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And just in case you missed it, you'll find the interview that we did at first with Dr. David Gasco of Minnesota on our website, michiganradio.org. He addressed how the dental therapist program is working in his state.